Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another anniversary show. And today I'm talking about just as somebody who I adore this man. And it's going to color my experience for the whole fucking movie. And I don't care, whatever. I know, like, Paul and Wayne, I think, watched this movie as a Patreon only, like, requested review, and they did not like it. Or at least Paul didn't, which I don't understand. But then again, I mean, I think you have to love Chris Farley to love Chris Farley movies, because he's very much Chris Farley, and that's the only reason you watch a Chris Farley movie. But that notwithstanding, I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled, ladies and gentlemen, to be joined by an amazing, amazing friend, patron of the show, somebody we absolutely adore. He's been on innumerable times, not as many times as Dan, but probably close. Our good friend Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast is here. Gerald, how the hell are you?
Nicholas, what's up, brother? How are you?
You know how we do. Fat guy
and a little coat.
We are going to talk about Tommy Boy, which, ladies and gentlemen, turns 25. Can you believe 25 years old?
I can't, man. You know why I can't fucking believe that? Because I graduated in 94 and this came out in 95.
Man.
Graduated high school. So just, I'm old, man.
Why? Just, I can't even, I honestly, the number of things I think about when I watch this movie, and let me, I love this movie. And I'll tell you why I love this movie, because Chris Farley is an absolute fucking blast to watch. You can say what you want about the plot. It is very fucking generic. And there's a lot of dumb comedy setups in this movie just to have dumb stuff happen, whatever. I don't care. I love all of it because I absolutely adore Chris Farley. Like, when the world lost Chris Farley, the world lost something so fucking special. And you know what? Like, there's a couple of scenes in this movie. Like, the scene when he's on the boat. He's out on the boat and he's talking to Michelle and he's talking about his dad. Like, there, that's a good dramatic scene too. Like, who knows the kind of fucking career this guy would have had if he would have stuck around, man. It's heartbreaking.
I think it would have been amazing, man. I met him in the early 90s. Well, I say met him, I use that term loosely. I saw him on the street in New York City. I was there for a school trip in like 93, and it was cold, and he was walking by, and he actually looked like his character from Tommy Boy. He had on one of those like golf hats or whatever.
I think that's just how he always looked, though.
Yeah. And he's walking by all bundled up with like his hands in his pockets. And I was like, and I was a huge fan of SNL. You know, he was doing the motivational speaker at the time, and he was doing all these great skits. And he's walking by Matt Foley. And he's walking by, and I'm like, hey, Chris Farley. And he looks up and he goes, yep. He just kept walking.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, I fucking love you. Thank you for saying yep to me. That was awesome.
Yeah, he, like, just the amount of talent that he has, and the amount of humor he brings to a scene just through his physical performance is, like, can you think of anybody that's even come close since? Anybody that even, like, remotely does?
I mean, like, he gets compared to Belushi, of course, and, you know, Jim Carrey is obviously had longevity in his career. He started as a physical comic, but he's one of a kind, man. I mean, Chris Farley is one of a kind.
You just think about all the different things in this movie, like all the different, like the deer and the car, like, and they freak out when the deer absolutely trashes the car.
I've seen a lot of things in my life.
Oh my god, like the scene when he's out on the boat with Michelle and Julie Warner in this movie, like, we gotta talk about Bo Derek, I know, but Julie Warner in this movie is like something.
Girl next
something
door.
Amazing,
girl
man.
Next door.
She looks absolutely amazing. Great performance in this movie, but I love, like, he was standing up and fucking screaming at the kids on the shore.
Hey, Gilligan, did you eat the skipper?
There's a lot of different setups in this movie. They're clearly just gag setups, because clearly we just want to have these gags of Chris Farley just doing his Chris Farley thing. But there was something fucking magical about that guy, man.
There was. And you know what else, man, too, when you talk about Tommy Boy specifically, and then a follow up Black Sheep and on SNL too, is that him and Spade really, really had something together as a duo. And I think it's very reminiscent in the 70s and 80s to like Aykroyd and Belushi. I think they could have been just, they could have gone down as one of the all-time comedy duos had he stuck around. You know, Spade's career, I mean, I like David Spade. I'm not like a giant fan of his like I am Farley. But, you know, I don't know if Spade's career, I feel like it took a very different turn. You know, he's doing his talk show now. He's in all of Adam Sandler's movies. And I don't know. I feel like he's just more of kind of a backdrop now, where if Farley had stuck around and the two of them were making stuff together and had continued to kind of feed off of each other like that, I don't know. I thought it was just a magical like connection that they had in this movie. And then I really enjoyed Black Sheep, too, that they did together.
They had one of those kind of rapports as a comedic duo where Spade is like the ultimate straight man. And when you have somebody as absolutely ridiculous as Farley, you have to have somebody that is like the embodiment of the straight man, like far beyond any other straight man that you can ever think of. I mean, he has that kind of wry, sarcastic sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he has his little quips and stuff that are funny in the movie that aren't necessarily bad. He has that one scene where he's at the hotel and the girl's outside and she, right. you know, strips down to her birthday suit and right. she goes skinny dipping and everything. And it's hilarious when he, like, you know, he's going to start jerking off. And then Tommy comes back into the room and he, like, freaks out and gets back into bed. Were you watching Spanktrovision, Rich?
Yeah, and he just has all the cliche, like,
It's
who's
like,
your favorite little rascal? Is it Alfalfa or is it Spanky?
It's just, like, I mean, again, like, you watch this movie, and I think, like, if you leave, the plot of the movie is very, very run-of-the-mill. Like, his dad dies, and Brian Dennehy's great in this movie, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that basically, like, he's just, like, a big version, like, an older version of Tommy. I love that they have exactly the same energy. So it kind of gives you faith, like, in the plot of the movie that, you know, like, Callahan Auto is going to be okay. You know, like, it kind of gives you that kind of confidence. Like, Callahan's going to be fine at the end of the day. When Tommy takes over, because they had that same kind of energy, even though, you know, Dennehy's character had more of a sense for business that Tommy Boy eventually kind of comes to learn over the course of the movie.
Right.
Which, I think that stuff is fine, but...
And you learn also as the viewer that, it's inherent. Like, it's just kind of comes to him. I mean, he's not taught it. He didn't even really train with his dad. I mean, he obviously watched his dad work, but... There's that great scene where he has this kind of transformation and turns into a salesman when he's selling that one guy. And he's like, you know, if you want me to take a dump in a box and mark it guaranteed, I will. I've got free time. But right now, for your sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to buy a quality product for me.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they sold you a guarantee that what you're buying is a piece of shit.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Like, there are a lot of just nice, just heartwarming moments in this movie. And it all just goes back. I mean, number one, if you were a fan of Farley, and I can't help but view these films through that kind of I love Chris Farley to death mm-hmm. lens. Like, this guy, like, he was an immeasurable, just absolutely immeasurable talent. Like, you can't even argue about it. Like, you can't even find for me anybody that who would, like I said, I mean, like, you can't even think of somebody else that has ever come along since that would be able to fill his shoes. Like, that's how fucking powerful he was as mm-hmm. as an actor, as a performer. Like, he's just, you know, I mean, and it's sad watching movies like this. It makes me sad to watch movies like this that he was in, because the motherfucker, he was magnetic.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree.
He's infinitely watchable. Like, you cannot look away from him when he's on the screen, because he has heart. Like, you can tell he has just absolutely the biggest heart when he's on the screen. And then he literally, like, he runs, like, I love that scene in the beginning of the movie where he literally, like, they're all walking into the auto parts plant and he walks straight into that fucking lift and bashes his head off.
Right. Like, he walks into the glass door though, you know, leaving the building.
Like, holy shit, man. Like, it's just fucking hilarious. And that was Farley. And if you love Farley, like, even if the plot of the movie wasn't like the greatest, admit, like, I know, like, it'll get off topic a little bit because we're talking more about Farley than about the movie itself, but, like, remember, like, that he was the prototype for Shrek. You know, right. He was mm-hmm. supposed to be Shrek. Like, imagine how much different a movie Shrek would have been if Farley would have stayed alive and been able to be in the movie.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I thought about that before. We talked about that on my show when we did animated films. I mean, it would have been, you know, I think Mike Myers really, you know, is that role now, but it also at the same time, it's so intriguing, you know, to wonder what direction Farley would have taken that character. And just the things he would have done in his career in general. I mean,
yeah, like
obviously,
I said,
obviously gone way too soon. So I would have loved to have seen another 50 movies from this guy, you know?
Yeah.
I am 35 years old. I am divorced and I live in a van down by the river.
One of my favorite things when I went to college, and of course I Dan and Caleb from Netflix and Swill, I met them in college. I you know, we ran together in college for years. Two of my absolute best friends. I love those guys. But one of my favorite things was one of the times I went out there after I graduated, you know, before Dan had graduated and before Caleb had graduated and everything, is you know, I went out there and Dan says, "Give me your shirt." I was like, "What the fuck? What?" And Dan's like, "Give me your shirt." You know, so I took my shirt off and I gave it to Dan, and he stuffs like a whole bunch of shit into the shirt, and then he swaggers into the room like Chris Farley, and he does that whole fucking scene, that whole fucking scene. And I mean, that's why I love Dan so much, because Dan's got that larger than life personality too, like Farley had. That's one of the reasons why I love Dan so much, because Dan's just that fucking great. But it's one of my most enduring memories of fucking college. It's like Dan with like my shirt on, with like one of my shirts on stuffed and like full of pillows and like clothes and all sorts of shit. So he looks like this big fucking rotund dude swaggering around Caleb's living room. It was Caleb's living room at the time in college. And Caleb was living with his girlfriend that hated us at the time. It was fucking hilarious.
That's awesome, man.
Oh,
God, like, I'd kill to see that.
I mean, there's photos of it that float around periodically on Facebook. I'll have to try to find one or whatever. They periodically will pop up on Facebook or whatnot. That photo. There's just a photo of Dan in my shirt, like stuffed full. And Dan had really long hair at the time. Of course, Dan has no fucking hair. He's like you. He has no hair.
Yeah, we're bald. Yeah.
You know, but he had really long hair and shit. He's just stuffed in this fucking absolutely shirt stuffed full doing that Matt Foley character. But that, again, it ties back to just kind of this enduring legacy, I think, that Farley has. So when I watch this movie, I watch this, number one, as a Farley fan first, and as a movie fan second. So yes, the film has a lot of flaws. I want to talk more about the rest of the elements of the movie, the rest of the performances, the rest of the actors in the movie, things like that. But Chris fucking Farley, man. And I don't think, especially on the Epic Film Guys, like thinking over the long history of this show, I don't think we've really ever gotten a chance to talk much about Chris Farley on this show and how important that man was to me in the fucking 90s. Like, seriously, like, I will watch that shit today. I will watch fucking Matt Foley today, and I will be on the floor fucking laughing. Like, and there's even that one great moment, like, it reminds you of kind of Matt Foley. And the thing he used to do on SNL was that physical humor where he passes out mid fucking sentence at the fucking at the party after he graduates from college and falls right through the fucking coffee table, smashes it,
right?
And it's just, you know, like, that he was the most special fucking guy, man. Like, the world lost so fucking much when it lost Chris Farley. It just really did.
You remember where you were when you heard he passed?
No, I don't. I was in high school. I know I was in high school, but you know, I just know that it was just one of those, like, it's one of those sobering moments where, like, I probably, you know, it was kind of similar to me because I was in high school when Cobain died too, you know. And it was kind of one of those similar things to me. Like, it was just, you know, that's why Justin's nostalgia is the 80s. I don't know why, because he's younger than me. And he, like, I grew up more in the 80s than he did, you know, like the 90s was more of his formative time. But he has that kind of soft spot for the 80s. I have more of that soft spot for the 90s. And I know I do, you know, because like Nirvana was like, I like my blood, like my lifeblood. I love Nirvana. And when I remember it was Cobain passed too.
Well, I remember it was around Christmas time. I just remember it being Christmas time when it happened, when he passed, because I was on Christmas break. I was in college at the time, and that's really all. But I just have that memory of just, it was the holiday season, and I was just like kind of just really surprised, like, didn't want to, kind of like the Kobe Bryant thing, to be honest. You just kind of don't believe it, really.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, this isn't real, or it's fake news or whatever. And then, of course, it was. So
Phil Hartman was the biggest one for me in the
Phil Hartman was a tough one, too.
Phil Hartman was the worst one for me. Because I'm if you know anything about me, listening to this show, if you literally know anything about me, I am slavishly devoted to early Simpsons. It is, as far as I'm concerned, the best thing that has ever been produced for television, literally ever, and I don't think it will ever be topped. There are things that are great and amazing that I adore television-wise, but nothing can touch early Simpsons, and Phil Hartman had such a big part of that, and he was the same fucking way. You know, this is getting off on like the craziest tangent that I never expected to get off onto. It's not your fault. It's my fault more so for taking it down that road. But I want to talk about, let's move into some other elements of this movie. We mentioned Rob Lowe's in this movie, who I love. When I think Rob Lowe, and I think two things when I think Rob Lowe, and I want to pitch this over to you. I think number one, The Stand, because he's a deaf mute in The Stand. So he has to hangs out with fucking Patrick Starr himself, Bill Fagerbach, and M-O-O-N, you know. I love The Stand so much. Myself and Randy from Miserable Retail Slave are going to do something about The Stand miniseries at some point in the future. I don't know 100% when, but that's definitely going to be something that's going to happen. But that's one thing. And then the other thing is Chris Traeger, Parks and Rec, man.
Yeah, me too. That's one.
Literally one of the greatest comedies on television of all fucking time.
And just in such good shape, you know?
Yeah.
Working out all the time.
I love his positive attitude, his upbeat attitude. I'm a lot like that. I'm a positive guy. I'm an upbeat guy. I'm probably way more negative than, like, if I want to tear into something, I tear into something, though. Chris Traeger, like, would only positively tear into stuff. That's why I always had Ben with him, because Ben was the guy that always, okay, I'm going to give you the real spiel now. Like, not the positive pump you up spiel. But Rob Lowe, not credited in this movie, we learned before we actually started recording here. And that's because he was contractually obligated to be in The Stand. So he only took this role as a favor to Farley.
Yeah.
Do you love a good story? If you do, check out Stories of Your and Yours. I'm Sean Ennis, and each week on Stories of Your and Yours, I narrate a classic short story, adding music and sound effects to bring those stories new life. The back catalog features stories by the likes of Edgar Allan Poe, Kurt Vonnegut, Rudyard Kipling, Mark Twain, Ray Bradbury, and many more. And in addition to classic short stories, I feature original stories by you, the listener. So if you do love a good story, give Stories of Your, that's Y-O-R-E, and Yours, that's Y-O-U-R-S, a listen today. And visit the show at SYY Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to submit your own stories, requests for classic short stories, or just to say hi. That's Stories of Your and Yours, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, we are from Netflix and Swill Podcast. Let me review Netflix shows for you, please. It would mean so much to me if you let me review Netflix for you. Somebody's got to review them. Why can't it be me?
Come on, let the boy review Netflix shows for you.
Hi, hello, are you good? Good. Let me drink crappy alcohol and make jokes for you. I'm already going to be reviewing Netflix for you. Just say yes to me drinking crappy alcohol. Honestly and sincerely, I would like to make jokes for you to laugh at.
He's a good, hard-working boy. Let him drink some beer and make jokes.
Please don't make me watch the one-star movies.
He's a nice boy! Watch your own damn shitty movies! For God's sake!
Download Netflix and Swill, please. I'll put all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Podbean. Please download our episodes. I already started watching the one-star movies. If you didn't want to listen to our show, why'd you let me watch the one-star movies?
Can we stop this cruel game and allow the boy to keep one shred of dignity? For God's sake! I can't stand to see him in all this pain! So just listen to Netflix and Swill! For the love of God, let the boy review Netflix for you!
Well, I love Rob Lowe, too. I mean, I can't help it, and I don't know if it's because of the recency, and I was such a huge fan of Parks and Rec, but I also go to that almost right away when I think of Rob Lowe. He was just so awesome in that role. And
literally
amazing. Literally amazing. But he is also kind of like a perfect specimen, you know, for his age especially. So he fit that character so well, and they wrote that into the script so well because it was basically him, which I thought was cool. But also, I love St. Elmo's Fire, which came out in the mid-80s. And I remember him from that. That was one of my favorite 80s films. but he was in that one. It was directed by Joel Schumacher with Emilio Estevez and Andrew McCarthy were in that, and a very young and hot Demi Moore was in that. I don't know if you remember St. Elmo's Fire, but those are the two things I think of with Rob Lowe. But I agree with you. I love him. And I just found out tonight about the thing, you know, being uncredited and doing that as a favor to Farley, which speaks to what we were talking about, how magnetic and just great he was as a dude, and just people wanted to work with him, you know?
Not a fan of The Stand, Gerald?
No, I do. I like The Stand, too, but you mentioned that already. But yeah, I like The Stand.
I expect
as well.
More love for The Stand. More. Well, God damn it. I'm so apprehensive about another version of it that they're going to be. I guess it's supposed to come out sometime this year, but who knows?
Oh, really? It's this year? I didn't know that.
It keeps getting punted around. Like, I mean, they were supposed to at some point do, like, I think a two-part big screen adaptation of it, like, a couple years ago or whatever. Like, Stephen King stuff bounces all over the place. But then when It Chapter 1 came out in 2017, like, all of a sudden, like, a lot more of this Stephen King stuff got, like, you know, serious production money thrown behind it. And I wonder if, like, I know they took it off the burner at one point, and then it got put back on the burner as, like, a different thing or whatnot. I'm really wary of it because I don't know how you capture The Stand in, like, a feature film, even two feature films, even if they're 3 hours long. There's so much fucking material.
Yeah,
to pack in
mean,
there.
That's the thing.
It's so dense. There's so many characters.
So much, man.
You know? And I worry, like, I love the miniseries because the miniseries is 8 fucking hours, but you get a great sense of all of the characters in that miniseries. And yeah, Rob Lowe, I really, really love. But he, of course, you get that swerve at, like, the end of the first act in this movie, or kind of midway through the movie, that Bo Derek isn't actually his mom, but they're actually married. Yep. How'd that play for you?
Are they married or are they just together?
No, they're married. Right. They're married because that was the big thing at the end of the movie, that they the marriage to Big Tom, the marriage to Brian Dennehy's character, wasn't valid because she was married to Rob Lowe's character.
Oh, gotcha. I didn't remember that. I mean, I didn't see it coming the first time I saw it, so it was a cool plot twist. I thought he was just kind of, you know, playing the snooty kind of stepbrother that didn't want to be a part of the scenario, and he, you know, when they went cow tipping together, and
oh my god,
I love it. Chris Farley's like, brother, I'll save you. I love you. And this is like the first night that he met him, you know.
oh my god, yeah, like that's but, just absolutely amazing.
But Rob Lowe, I mean, I didn't see the twist coming, so that was cool. But it could, and also because they do kind of look alike, Bo Derek and Rob Lowe. Did you notice that? Like, I thought it was good casting because
a little bit, yeah.
He did kind of look like he could be her son. So I remember thinking that I didn't see the plot twist coming the first time I saw it. So that's cool.
I mean, we get that establishing shot, just that first shot of Bo Derek when she comes out of the pool in the in the very 90s bikini. Like, just, oh man.
And he's like, Dad, she's like a 10.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, she's one of the all-time classic screen beauties. I mean, you can't even deny it, like, just legitimately.
Great casting for that.
Absolutely great casting, but I think she's fantastic in the film. How about Aykroyd as Ray Zelinsky?
Oh, so good. He's got really weird hair.
The fucking hair, man. The hair is so fucking out there.
He's great, man, and I think that's cool, too, because that was one of Farley's heroes. You know, he really idolized Aykroyd, and he was vocal about that. So, you know, I mean, obviously, Aykroyd got a check for this, but also you'd like to think that he wanted to be a part of something special with Farley, too. Because when you hear people talk about Farley and reminisce about their time, their short time with him, because his career was too short, everybody's the same. Like, they just had such a huge admiration for him, and it's like, they all knew back then, like, this guy's the real deal. Like, from a comedic actor standpoint, like, he's going to be huge, you know? And then of course, tragedy befell his career, but you know what I mean? So I wonder if Aykroyd kind of, cause this was, I don't want to say beneath him, but I mean, he was obviously,
I mean, it's a bit part. And I mean, I read in IMDb trivia that he filmed all of his scenes in 2 days. Like, it wasn't anything that required him to do, like, a whole lot of heavy lifting or anything. Right. You know?
But I thought he was great in it. I thought he
He's great. He's great.
The accent, the hair. I mean, you know, he really hammed it up for it. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, no, I love him in this movie. I think he's great in this movie. And I mean, you just can't even complain about him in this movie. I thought he was really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's got a very run-of-the-mill plot. It's extremely, extremely run-of-the-mill. And yeah. Directed by Peter Siegel, who I'm actually really intrigued to check out next month, My Spy. Or the same month this comes out, actually. The same month that this movie hits its 25th anniversary, My Spy with Dave Bautista.
I don't think I've seen that.
Well, it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
The month that this is going to release, actually.
My Spy. Oh, that's the one where he's got the little girl.
With the little girl, yeah.
I know what you're talking about now.
51st Dates with Adam Sandler, he directed.
Yeah, I just saw that trailer before Sonic, actually. So now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's going to be really interesting. Naked Gun 33 and a third. Get Smart with Steve Carell, he did. So
cool.
He's done a lot of different comedic stuff. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what ends up happening with My Spy. But yeah, I mean, like I said, the script for this movie, it is extremely run of the mill. Everything that you expect to happen in this movie happens. They face adversity. They end up winning and saving Callahan Auto in the end. They end up saving the town. Everybody loves them and everything. It's very, very run of the mill. So if you just go into this and you're not really one of those people that loves Farley, or you're just not even sure who Farley is, if you're somebody younger listening to this or whatever, but just, I hate to go back to it so often, but there's no other way to talk about this movie than to just talk about how absolutely fucking magnetic Chris Farley is.
I agree. He's just such a funny dude and just such a magnetic's a really good word to use, actually. But like I mentioned before too, I think him and Spades, partnership perfect. Was really special
perfect.
Too
perfect
yeah I and think that's they why, just worked so
I think
well
that's why Spade like in the you know the time since Farley passed I think that's why Spade has never like I mean people you know granted he's done some stuff that you enjoy him in that's fine that you like him in you know there was what Rules of Engagement I think is a show that I watched with Spade in it that Spade was good in it like he wasn't bad in it or anything but you just miss because he played such a perfect, like he's the hyper straight man to Farley's unbelievably over the top, you know, clown.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had that perfect, like, dichotomy, you know.
I think about this,
because they obviously wouldn't have just done movies together their whole career.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, like, with the what's happening in Hollywood right now, a lot of this stuff is like, let's pick up these properties that are 20, 25, 30 years old and let's give them a sequel. Let's bring back Bill and Ted 3's coming out this fucking year. You know, how many other movies have come out that are 25, 30 years removed from the original installment where they're bringing back the original actors, the original casts? You know, you have to imagine it. So, and I'm not saying we would have gotten like a Tommy Boy sequel or something, but we would have gotten like after 15, 20 years of not doing anything together and they're doing all their own things and having their own careers
absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
we would
absolutely.
Have gotten like a, somebody would have been like, I have a great idea for this fucking Farley Spade comedy. And then you get to see them reunite on screen and the fucking
been great.
Feel
been
the magic.
It would have been a fucking, yeah, it would have been a fucking dream come true.
Right now. Imagine living in that world right now.
I mean, you're right. I mean, they do. I mean, Hollywood is regurgitating everything. You're right. I mean, it's actually getting to be a little annoying, but there's so few unique original ideas anymore. But I mean, I just heard them wanting to do a revival of Ace Ventura, and Jim Carrey's hopefully going to be involved in that. But I mean, it's like every
how do you take
year, every
Carrey
couple years.
Sonic now, with what he does in Sonic, how do you not all of a sudden want to just revive every Jim Carrey property from the 90s.
I know, right? Know? Absolutely, man.
I guess I see it from Hollywood's perspective. Like, you have to mine that stuff. Because Carrey was, I mean, for me anyway, because, I mean, again, I'm watching it through that 90s nostalgia lens. Carrey is the best fucking part of that movie by far.
Oh, he's great, man.
I love
great.
Him in that fucking movie. So over the top, so ridiculous. That perfect Jim Carrey that you love. You know? But
I agree.
That's the world I think we would be living in if we were living in this world of, you know, if Chris Farley had survived, Chris Farley had lived through this time, you know, we'd be finally getting like, you know, 15, 20 years removed. It'd be like, oh, yeah, we found this perfect thing. We need you and Spade to be in it. It's going to be fucking great. And even if a little bit of it was derivative, it'd probably be fucking brilliant. And we'd laugh our asses off. Absolutely laugh our asses off. So
I think so, too, man.
I think this ended up being more of a look back at the.
Well, you know what
genius
I was going to say.
Chris Farley than anything else, but
I think so. But what I was going to say is that's almost beautiful because, you know, I didn't know what angle you wanted to go at Tommy Boy, but what I was thinking initially is it's Chris Farley. I mean, the movie is titled as Tommy Boy.
Oh, it's a Chris Farley vehicle. I mean, the film was written around him. Never mind. Words are too hard.
Now you're going down.
Now I'm
going
to die.
But you know, you were talking about the thin plot and the predictability of the story, and all that is 100% true. But just if you like Chris Farley, it doesn't matter. Like, you just want to see him do his thing. Do you know what I mean?
But Hollywood's always going to churn out scripts like this. Hollywood's always going to churn out films like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's the same thing. It's very, very, it's like Sonic. Like, to talk about a very recent example, Sonic is very, very run of the mill. It does not do anything that shocks or surprises whatsoever. What you then have to rely on is the performances of the cast and how well everything comes together, how tightly it's edited, how well it's directed, all those different elements that come together to elevate it to something special. Because, yeah, you know that in the end, Tommy Boy is going to save the town, because that's the way these kinds of movies go. Mm-hmm. But is it an amazing ride getting there? Do you laugh and have a great time getting there? And yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. This film is brilliant. It's simple. It's so simplistic, but in terms of what Farley's able to do with this character and just living large on screen and just being that Chris Farley that you know and love, I got to give it an 8 because I love Farley so much, and all 8 of those fucking points are for Chris Farley. Nothing else in this movie. I don't care about anything else in this movie. Everything else in this movie could have literally just been fucking people melting around it, whatever. I don't care. I love Farley so much. He's so magnetic. He's so fucking great. And he elevates what would otherwise be a subpar script and subpar material into greatness. And he's surrounded by a great supporting cast that everybody's having a blast in this movie. Think of the wedding when he's dancing with his fucking dad, dancing with Brian Dennehy, he's singing and everybody's having a fucking blast making this fucking movie. And you can tell it's probably because they were on set with Chris Farley. Simple as that, man.
Well, I'm lockstep with you, man. I'm also 8 out of 10. Chris Farley, we've been gushing over all night, but I mean, that's really the reason. I mean, he's got that boyish kind of charm in this movie.
You can't not love him in this movie. Right, I don't understand I know the Countdown watched this for something. I think it was a Patreon review.
How dare you?
Don't you, Paul? Listen to me. I know they watch it, and I know especially Paul, I don't think, was very hot on the movie. I don't know if he necessarily has that
nostalgic love of Farley like we do. He's in Australia too. I don't know if he was as huge over there either.
It might have been something like that. I mean, Farley was like, I mean, you think about 90s pop culture.
Yeah, here.
Farley, man. Chris fucking Farley was like such a big part of that. You think about things like, again, think about things like fucking Matt Foley, like I'm Living in a Van Down by the River. It's
classic.
You watch that, like, even when you watch that sketch, like, he was the kind of character that you watch that sketch and the, like, Christina Applegate's in it with David Spade, of course, is in it on SNL, and they can't even fucking get through it.
It's crazy.
They have to cover their mouths the whole time because they're laughing so fucking hard because it's so.
And there's another skit that was recurring that I love just as much. You remember when he did the talk show host and he would always be like, hey, you remember when.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And he was talking to Paul McCartney and he was like, you remember when you were in the Beatles? Awesome. Do you remember that?
That was awesome. He even has a line in that, like that in this movie where he's like, that was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just such a good talent, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy this is a Boy, great movie. Man. Watch it, guys. Watch it. If you want to laugh, if you want to be introduced to Chris Farley, this is a good place to start. If you love Chris Farley, revisit it because it is a blast.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I mean, again, this is just I was so fucking excited to revisit this movie, and it played out exactly how I expected it to. I knew this. I know it's a very simple plot, but I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care. I promise you. So, Gerald, our brother from 2PS, we love you, man. Tell the listeners. I mean, they know because if they listen to our show, they probably listen to you, and vice versa. But if there's anybody out there who is just discovering this and wants to know more about where that sweet, sexy voice comes from, tell them where they can find a piece out there.
Thanks for having me, man, to reflect on Tommy Boy. Love that movie. I love you and Justin.
Just all these fucking Chris Farley feels, man. Damn.
Yeah, I know, man. That was tough, but I do love Tommy Boy nonetheless. But, yeah, I mean, you can find us everywhere. 2Ps on a Podcast. TWO is spelled out there, and you can follow us on Twitter at 2Ps on a Pod. We are just a fun top 5 countdown show. We count down movies, music, TV, pop culture. I have guest hosts kind of revolving all the time. And then the other half of the time, my boy Andy joins me. And we just do a fun top five show. Nick's been on a few times. Justin's been on a few times. Hell, Lois also been on a few times.
So, you got to squirt that freely. That's a lot of cum.
That guy. In case you're wondering, that guy. Dude.
Yeah. In case anybody is curious which one I'm referring to. But I love the epic film, guys, and I'm thrilled that I was able to come back, man. So thanks for having me.
Dude, absolutely a blast. So thank you again. Find us all over social media and any podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Epic Film Guys. I promise you will find us out there. We love you. Thank you so much out there, everybody, for listening. Until next time, we will see you at
the...
You're not my dad.
Movies at the
movies.